The question is, if Rashi and Tosfos raised the question that they had the practice, they used to daven after the Shkia, apparently. They daven Ma'ariv early, and they didn't repeat Kriya Shema. So Rashi says they only have to repeat the first parsha. There's no need to repeat the second or third parsha. Why not? So the Tosfos seems to understand that Rashi, the Talmud Yerushalmi, Rashi quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi says, you can't be Yotze Kriya Shema before Tzeis HaKachavim because Sveika Deraisa L'chumer. So that's an interesting assumption. First assumption is that Kriya Shema is Deraisa, so you would say Sveika Deraisa L'chumer. That was a Machlokes on Chof Aleph. And Tosfos here seems to hold, seems to pass on La'alocha that Kriya Shema Derabbanan. So Rashi is going with Yerushalmi that Kriya Shema is Deraisa and Sveika Deraisa L'chumer. So Ben Hashmoshes is a Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So that's Mishnah, that's in Perek Lamed Madlikan. It says, Safik HaShecha, Safik Enich HaShecha. And it gives you all the dealing for Ben Hashmoshes on the assumption that Ben Hashmoshes is Safik. You have Mishnah like that if a baby is born on Friday night, Ben Hashmoshes. So it's a Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So it's a Safik whether the Mila Bizmana should take place next week on Friday or on Shabbos, or a baby is born, baby boy is born Ben Hashmoshes Saturday night, Shabbos going into Sunday, the Bris Deicha Shabbos are not, so you're not allowed to be Deicha Shabbos, it's a Sofik. Ben Hashmoshes is assumed to be a Sofik. So the Yerushalmi assumes Ben Hashmoshes is a Sofik. A Sofik Deraisa L'chumer, Kriya Shema is Deraisa. The Pashtas is that we're trying to establish when the people go to sleep. So there are a whole bunch of different opinions based on the base. And each opinion is Betoris Vada, not Betoris Sofik. So if you read before Tzeis HaKachavim, you're not Yotze Betoris Vada. Not that you're not Yotze Betoris Sofik, or Sofik Deraisa L'chumer. It's not yet Zman Shechiva. So that itself is a Chiddush in the Yerushalmi. That you're not Yotze if you read Kriya Shema before Tzeis HaKachavim, because Ben Hashmoshes is a Sofik. It's like a Dovish Matzosa Balaila. Kosher Kol HaLaila. If you do Ben Hashmoshes, it's a Sofik. If you eat Matzah Ben Hashmoshes, it'll be a Sofik whether you were Yotze. We have to eat again Beli Brocha. Could be Sofik, not Betoris Vada. But here, one would have said that it's Betoris Vada that you're not Yotze Kriya Shema. It's not yet Zman Shechiv. Yerushalmi says, no, it's Betoris Sofik. So then the question begs itself, how much of Kriya Shema is Deraisa? All the three Parshas are Deraisa. So Rashi seems to hold that only Parsha Vishayna is Deraisa. That's why we said the Prima Godim, and the Psicha Kolelas, Prima Godim has a Psicha Kolelas. That's a general introduction to all of Torah Shebal Peh. It's not really Psicha Kolelas to Prima Godim and Orach Haim. It's a general introduction to Torah Shebal Peh. Then he has a separate Psicha to Hilchas Kriya Shema, separate Psicha to Hilchas Pesach, Hilchas Shabbos, each section. So in the Psicha to Hilchas Kriya Shema, he raises the question, how much of Kriya Shema is Deraisa? So he quotes the four opinions. The Ramban says only Pasuk Rishon is Deraisa. That's how the Ramban interpreted the Gemara later. You only have to have Kavanah but Pasuk Rishon. That goes on Kavanah's Pirush Amilas. That's on Yud Gimel on the base. And the Ramban thinks that the reason why you only need Kavanah's Pirush Amilas on Pasuk Rishon, one would have said because you need Kabbalah's Amach Shemaim. So if you don't know what the words mean, where's the Kabbalah's Amach Shemaim? So the Ramban says, because mitzvahs deraisa tzichas kavanah, mitzvahs rabbanah nein tzichas kavanah. Tosfos in Pesachim, in the last parak Pesachim, finds out there are two different sugyas. There's one sugya in Rosh Hashanah in here regarding mitzvahs deraisa, kiyoshayif and Rosh Hashanah's deraisa, and kriyashma's deraisa. So that's one sugya, whether mitzvahs tzichas kavanah, if it's a mitzvah deraisa. And then the Gemara in the last parak Pesachim has a discussion about Mara Bizmanazet. Mara Bizmanazet, the Gemara says, only be the Rabbanon. Marav Bizman HaMikdash was Deraisa. Marav Bizman is only the Rabbanon. So the Gemara there has a machlokes again where the mitzvah tzichas kavanah. It says the two sugyas don't quote the same rayas. Each sugya quotes other brayas, other Mishnah Hakam. But it says because there's room to distinguish in either direction. The sugya about Marav talks about mitzvahs the Rabbanon, whether tzichas kavanah. And the sugya here and the sugya in Rosh Hashanah at the end of the third parak discusses whether mitzvahs Deraisa tzichas kavanah. So how do you pass consider three different opinions? Yes, no, and sometimes. So sometimes that's the Magen Avraham quotes the Radvaz, who says the same as the Ramban. The mitzvahs deraisa, they pass on tzichas kavanah. Mitzvahs rabbanon ain't tzichas kavanah. Ramban says the reason why you need kavanah is pirush amilas on pasuk rishon, Because Pasuk Rishon alone is Deraisa, and the rest is only the Rabbanon. Yeah, so the Pashtus is that we distinguish, like Rab Chaim points out in the Sefer, there are two different Kavanas. One is Kavanas Pirush Amilus, one is Kavanas Lotzeis. Two different things. No. So Rab Chaim mentions that in his Sefer. So the Ramban writes, and don't tell me that the two different Kavanas, the Poshup Pshat is like that. Kavanas Pirush Amilus is because of Kabbalah Sol Machu Shamayim, if you don't know what you're saying. So there's no Kabbalah Sol Machu Shamayim. Ramban says, and don't tell me that the two different kavanas. No, the kavanas pirush amilus is a function of whether mitzvah sichas kavan. I don't understand it. It's a pella anyway. So that's the Ramban shita. That's the Prima Gordon quotes the four opinions. So the first shita is the Ramban, that pasuk Rishon and the Raisa. Second shita is shita's Rashi. This Rashi, the opening Rashi in the Masechta, that Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Rashi seems to hold Parsha Rishon as the Raisa, Parsha Shni as the Rabbanan. It says in the Parsha Shnei, also B'shach B'chav Kumecho, you should be cited. Says in the Hubadir Torah Hudichsiv, that goes on learning. That was one opinion that Legamre Kriyashma the Rabbanon. And Tosfos Paskan is like that here and in Saita and Perikel and Amarim. There was an opinion that both times that it says B'shach B'chav, both in Shema and B'chayon Shema, really goes on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That you shouldn't think it's enough if you learn a little bit every day. You have to learn a little bit every day in the daytime, a little bit every day in the nighttime. Like it says, V'algisba yomam v'loyla. A little bit every day, a little bit every night. So that's one opinion there. Kriyashma alav deraisa. Both parshios alav deraisa mean, we said the Rabbeinu Yoina, you have to learn something, but it doesn't necessarily have to be these two parshios. So Rashi splits and he says, Parsha v'shoina, when it says, V'shoch v'chov kamecha means, you have to recite this parsha. And the parsha Shnia, when it says you should learn B'shach B'chamecha, means you should learn anything. You should learn Talmud Torah B'shach B'chamecha. So Rashi holds the parsha B'shach is Deraisa, so Sveka Deraisa L'chumre. So Misofik, you have to say over the Kriyashma, but parsha Shnia is the Rabbanon. So you Yotze B'bein HaShmoshes, because Sveka Derabbanon L'kula. Wapra B'chidish. But it's all based on Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi said that the reason Korah Kodim L'chein Lo Yotze Dechavos, because Sofik Deraisa L'chumre. We would have said based on Igmar, it's not yet Zman Shechiva, it's Betoris Vada, you're not Yotzi. Not just Betoris Sofik. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and they say, why do you distinguish between Parsha Rishon and Parsha Shnia? If you hold Parsha Rishon is Deraisa, and Parsha Shnia is also Deraisa. So that's the third opinion that the Prima Gaon quotes. What's Parsha Shlishis? Parsha Shlishis has nothing at all to do with Kriyashma. Parsha Shlishis is recited because of Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim, which is the different mitzvah. But that also, that mitzvah, it says, Man tizikar shem tzeis chmanzai ko yimecha yecha hayomim ko yimecha yecha ha-leilos. So if it says ha-leilos, how are you yoytze during bein ha-shmoshes? That should be sveika deraisa l'chumra. That's a din deraisa to say bayom or balayla. That should be sveika deraisa l'chumra. So we suggested, it never says, it says yimecha yecha hayomim ko yimecha yecha kol is marba something in addition to yomim. So who says that it's marba leilos? It's marba some other zman that's not yom. So bein hashmoshes is a new zman. As long as it's after the shkia, it's already bein hashmoshes, that's considered a new zman. Why should that be considered? But dostach the suffix, is it a new zman or not? Bein hashmoshes is a suffix yom, suffix leilo. And doesn't it mean that we're not, the rabbis are not sure already, Maimon HaSina took place 3,000 years ago, and we're still not sure when is the end of the day? When is the beginning of the night? Is it at sunset? 5 minutes later, 5 minutes later, 5 minutes later, 5 minutes later? We don't know. There's a cut-off point. So isn't that the regular suffix deraisa l'chumra? So how can we say as long as you arrived at a different zman? Imechayecha yamim kol yimechayecha kol is marba another zman, and bein hashmoshes is another zman. But it means another zman. That's exactly the suffix. When is the zman of your man? When does the zman of Laila begin? So we said, perhaps the answer is based on the Ritvua and Yuma. The Ragachover discovered our Ritvua and Yuma, and after he discovered it and printed about it, so now everybody knows his Ritvua. The Gemara and Yuma has a Shaila when the Kangoro does the Melo Kumtza, Melo Chofno, Ktaras Amim Dako. He sticks in his fingers to be, and Yom Kippur, he does Haktaras on the Mizbah Haktaras, like every day of the year, a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the evening. And then, in addition, he has to take Ktoros Hamim Daka. Every day it's Daka. So it says it has to be Daka Mina Daka. It has to be ground up even more finely than every day. And instead of taking, how much did he take every day? Mana bayom, mana b'chol yom, pras b'shachos, pras b'enu habayim. Mana b'chol yom, that's an awful lot. That's an awful lot. That's meikir adini, has to have mana. Mana is more than you need. I don't remember what the shir is. It's much more than you need. But on Yom Kippur, you don't take mana l'chol yom pras b'shachas pras b'emi. You don't take a chatzi mana. On Yom Kippur, you take malachof ne'chutar samim daka min adaka, and you put it and you burn it on the machta, which is on the floor. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, every day the HaKadoshim is on the Mizbach HaKadoshim in the Kodesh in the Heichal. And on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there is no Mizbeach over there, so he's makter it, he puts it on the and he puts it on the floor, he puts the macht on the floor, and he puts the Meloch up, the Haktorah Dak on top of the macht, he does a Haktorah on the floor. So the Gemara has a suffix, I think Rava, Boy Rava, in the middle of Yuma, what about the when he does Meloch up, the Haktorah Samim Dak, what about the Haktorah that got stuck in between his fingers? Does that have to Does that have the status of Meloch Ofnov, like inside, so you have to burn everything? Or do you say, no, just like whatever is outside of the hands is not included in Meloch Ofnov, so what's caught in between the fingers also, you should not be makta that. It doesn't have to be makta that on the makta, lefnai v'lefnim. He only is makta what's Meloch Ofnov inside. So Rava has such a suffix. So the Gemara says, Bosa de Baya Hoda Pashta, after he was raised the question, he thought about it for a while, came to the conclusion that the Sveikahu. So what was he poshet? He wasn't sure whether it's Kilatnim or Kilachutz. Does it have the din of Balochofno? Does it have din like outside? So he, after thinking, he came to the conclusion that he's not sure. So what's the answer? So that's what he wasn't sure all along. So what was he poshet? Usually he say, Basa de Baiho de Pashta, he comes to a conclusion. Here there is no conclusion. So the Ritva says, no, the conclusion was that it has the din kilifnim, it has the din of sveka de dina, because it has a din kilifnim. He was misuf because like inside or outside, and he came to the conclusion that it's both, it's a tait to the sasri. Whenever you have a tait to the sasri, you treat it like a suffix. And the Ritva gives us a mashal, like the concept of Ben HaShmashis. The Ben HaShmashis is not, one Tana says in the Mishnah, Beferish Natsan, the Mishnah increases. Ben HaShmashis simply means you have 25 minutes. You don't know whether, when is the end of Yom or the beginning of Laila? Is it at sunset? 2 minutes later, 2 minutes later, 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, 7 minutes later? You don't know. Every moment is a suffix. Where's the cutoff point? When does Yom end? And when does Laila begin? But over here, this Ritva says that Rabbah came to the conclusion, not like that Mishnah increases. It's not a suffix. What second does Yom end and does Laila begin? No. This overlap. It's both Yom and Laila. It's Laila superimposed on top of Yom. On the one hand, the sun is no longer shining because the sun set, so it should be Laila. On the other hand, there's still light, not a lot of light. So it's both Yom and Laila, and because Ben HaShmash is both Yom and Laila, you treat it as if it were a suffix. It's not that it's a suffix, when does Yom and when does Laila begin. So similar to that case with Ben HaShmash is both Yom and Laila, and because of the fact that it's a tied to the sasa, we treat it as if it were a suffix. So the same is true regarding the Meloch Ofnov, that Ketoros Samim Daka that got caught in between the fingers of both Kilifnim and Kalachutz, and therefore you treat it as a suffix. So somebody counted up, somebody used a computer, and he checked with the tshuvas of the Avnei Nezer. So he found that it's 11 times the Avnei Nezer has different tshuvas where he has this idea that something is a tie to the sasri, whatever something is a tie to the sasri, he treated it as if it were a suffix. The Ritva has that a person is both a Jew and a non-Jew. How can he be both a new and a Jew and a non-Jew? He's Jewish. Boy, he's Mechal Shabbos, prefers to say, Dina Ka'akum. Or he's an Ovid Avod Azar, Dina Ka'akum. So what do you mean, Dina Ka'akum is both a Jew and a non-Jew? And you treat him as if it's a suffix. And he has other cases like that. You have a Kli, that there's a Kli Mateches, and there's a Kli Cheres. A Kli Cheres is Makabal Tumah only in the inside, not Makabal Tumah on the outside. If you touch it on the outside, it's not Makabal Tumah. And once it is Makabal Tumah, it has no Tara B'mikveh. And Kli Mateches And Kli Matechas came in Mekabel Tumah on the inside or the outside, and once it does become Tami, it has Tefillah B'Mikveh. So what if you have a Kli? That's a blend. It's 50%, so usually if it's 75% metal and 25% Cheres, and the Mishnah says you go Basar Raif, and you declare it as metal. If it's 75% Cheres, 25% metal, you go Basar Raif, you declare it as a Kli Cheres. What if it's 50-50? So then the Mishnayos and the Tosefta talk about it. He dug up a Tosefta in Kehl. So he quotes a Tosefta that there's a Machlokes HaTanayim where they treat it as a suffix. Is it A or is it B? Or no, it's both A and B at the same time, and it has all the Chumras together. Even if the Adam Tami touched it from the outside, so it only becomes Tami on the assumption that it's like Kli Mateches, and it does not have Tar B'Mikvah. I should be me Manavshach. If it only became Tami from the outside, it means that you're assuming that it's a Kli Mateches. So Kli Mateches does have Tar B'Mikvah. No, has both Chumras. And he thinks the Rambam Paskins like that. There's no explicit Rambam on that, but he thinks the Rambam Paskins like that. So the Rabbi Soloveitchik had this, the Rav had this in his shiurim. This was a popular notion by him. He gave a shiur about the Bein HaShmashas, and he quoted the Ritva. Then on other occasions, he would have something, Anovim Ha'omdim Libotzer, Peres that are mechuba lekarka, but they're fully ripened already, and they're going to rot if you leave it on the tree long. And Esrog is a Yotzim HaKlal, you leave it on a tree, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, it doesn't rot. But if you leave apples or pears or grapes or other fruits, vegetables, you leave them longer, they're going to start to rot when they're still mechuba lekarka. So you have something that is mechuba lekarka, but it's fully ripened, and it's not going to get bigger. So that's a machlokes HaTanayim, whether anovim ha'omdim libotzer, grapes that are fully ripened and it's already time to harvest it, whether they have a dinam, mechuba lekarka, dinam kekarka, kimetalpum. So there are problems with the Rambam. There are Rambams on this. Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. There are problems. So Rav Soloveitchik's pshat and the Rambam was that he holds that it's both karka and metalpalim. And the Rambam is telling you in which halachas they say karka is a mafkiya. Which Allah say, no, the din doesn't apply to karka, but not that it's a mafkiya. And he had other cases like this. Achatzi ebed b'chatzi ben chorin. So he says it's both an ebed and a ben chorin. Atarte de sasre. And that's the shaila, whether avdus is a poiter, avdus is a poisel, or avdus an ebed doesn't have the din. But over here the guy is both an ebed and a ben chorin at the same time. That was a leching. There was a professor of law at Pace University, as a law school. I think it was a professor. His name was Schreiber. Professor Schreiber. They thought that they're descendants of the Chassam Sofer's brother. Chassam Sofer's name was Schreiber. Sofer is a Schreiber. And his son, this Professor Schreiber, passed away a couple of years ago in the middle of the summer. And his son is Baruch David Schreiber, who put out 19 volumes of drushes written, delivered by Rav Soloveitchik. He called them Neroes HaRav, because originally he wrote over drushes on Yomim Neroim. So he called it Neroes HaRav, and then he wrote over drushes on Chanukah and Purim and Pesach, but he liked the original title, so he left them all Neroes HaRav. He learned in Tarbadas. He never walked into Wayu. He learned in Tarbadas, but he fell in love with Rav Soloveitchik's drushes, so he wrote over 19 volumes of drushes. So his father, he's a genius, his father's a super genius. So the father was a super genius. So he put out a book about halacha and some kind of physics. So a good part of the book is he was a genius in other areas also, not just in law. The genius in music, a genius in history, a general stamma, genius in learning. So he put out a whole book, a hardcover book about this. He quoted a lot from Rav Soloveitchik, and he thought that Rav Soloveitchik picked up this idea from the Avnei Nezer. Rav Soloveitchik, when he was young, used to, in Europe, he used to have access to an Avnei Nezer. A lot of the Rav's shiurim used to be straight from the Avnei Nezer. So this is the suggestion over here, that according to Tosfos, the first two parshios are deraisa, so he couldn't be yotzei ben hashmashes, because sofik deraisa luchum, he couldn't be yotzei the first two parshios, he's sofik. But the third parsha, that apparently didn't bother them. Why not? Because it's a different zman. You don't learn out necessarily. Laman tizikar sem tzeshan kol yimecha yecha yimecha yecha hayamim, yimei is hayamim, and kol doesn't say halelos, it just says kol is another Zman, Yamar ben another Zman. It's another Zman. After it's no longer Yom, it's both Yom and Laila. That's already another Zman. So even though it's not absolutely Laila, it's both Yom and Laila together. But that's Al Pidin and Uzman. So if you follow this Ritva, so that Nuzman, that you could be Yotze. You would only have to say over the first two Parshas, wouldn't have to say over the third Parsha. Where did we see, one second, just to finish this, where do we see that? That Ben HaShemosh is on our daf, where do we see that? The Gemara says that based on the Pasuk, Ova Shemesh V'Taher, there's a din of a Tful Yom. What's a din of a Tful Yom? A person or a kli that's tamei, and the person is toivel a kli in a mikveh. So the tahara is good with respect to chulin, a tful yom is tahar with respect to chulin, and with respect to achilas maisu sheni. A tamei is not allowed to eat maisu sheni because the pasuk says on erev Pesach, on the fourth year, erev Pesach of the seventh year, the farmer has to recite, if it's true, he has to recite the pasuk b'yarti hakodesh ben abayis, if he observed all the dinim properly. If he violated the din, then he can't tell a lie. Then he doesn't do the mitzvah of vidoy maisa. But if he observed all the mitzvahs, then he says, "La'avatim imetzusecha v'lo shalchachti." So one of the psukim over there says, "La'avatim imena b'tomei." I did not consume the maisa sheni in the state of tuma. So the Mishnah is say, "Tavol v'yola." That's the Mishnah in the Goy in Perik Yud Dalet. The Tosfos quotes on the last line on Beis Amid Aleph. They quote from the Goy in Perik Yud Dalet. So it says there, Tova Viola, the person went to the mikveh, he comes out of the mikveh, he's already Yochel B'Maisu Sheni. But in order to eat Truma, you have to have higher Shemesh. Uva Shemesh V'Tohim. So the Pasuk says Uva Shemesh V'Tohim on a person who's Tomei, and it says it on a Kli also. If you have a Kli that was Tomei, and you Tovel it in the mikveh, Kli Cheres, that doesn't have Tari V'Mikveh, so we're not talking about a Kli Cheres. Kli Matechas or a Kli Yeh, it's a different Kli that does have Tari V'Mikveh. So you're not allowed to put truma into it, kol zman, even after you etovel it. If you put truma into it before Harav Shemesh, the truma will become pasul. This is against, we said that there's a Rashi, there's one Rashi in Chulin and there's one Rashi in Soita. The two Rashis contradict each other. One of the Rashis writes that the din of a tful yom, he's not allowed to eat truma, is only if the person is a tful yom. But if the kli is a tful yom, that if it touches truma, pasul, that's only a chumer midirabbanan. And the other Rashi contradicts that. Where Rashi said that idea is against the pasuk in Chumash, because that phrase of Vashemish v'Taher says beferish with respect to kelim, the kli can't eat truma. The kli can only contain truma. If you put truma into the kli, it'll become nifsal. So the pasuk says Vashemish v'Taher kelim also need higher shemish. For what purpose? Nafkamina. If you put in truma, it'll become nifsal. So the din of higher shemish is needed both by Adam and by kelim. Yeah, in order to complete the tahara in the mikveh for the purposes of maisa, for purposes of truma, for the purpose of maisa sheni you don't need harav shemesh. For the purpose of truma you need harav shemesh. The whole harav shemesh, the pashtus is totally irrelevant for zman hazeh. We don't have any truma. Nobody's eating any truma. You don't always eating any kochim. No one's entering into the Beis HaMikdash. The deal is that a Tvul Yom is not allowed to enter the Azorah. I mean, he is permitted to enter the Harabayas. A Tvul Yom is permitted to enter the Harabayas. He's not allowed to enter the Azorah. So there are people who go to Mikveh and they go into the Harabayas, but you don't need Harav Shemesh for that, to go into the Harabayas. Where is Harav Shemesh relevant Bizman Azeh? Halacha Maisa, we said Igros Moshe has a tshuva. Where is Harav Shemesh relevant Bizman Azeh? By a nida who goes to a married woman goes to mikveh. So the Ramoa quotes a chumrah from the Or Zarua. The Or Zarua sent a whole list of, I think, 14 shaylas to the Tosis Rid, who lived in Italy. Or Zarua lived in Vienna, and he sent I don't know how he knew that the Tosis Rid existed. He read in the papers about him. He read in Mishpacha magazine, had a write up about Tosis Rid. I don't know, how did he know that he exists? I don't know the Rabbanim in Italy. How did he know the Rabbanim in Italy? I don't know. So he sent a whole bunch of shaylas. And one of the shaylas was that there's a question based on a Rashi, based on the Gemara with the Rashi in the first perek, the end of the first perek in Masechet Shabbos. The Mishnah has that on one fine day, the Beis Shammai rammed through Yud Ches Gzeiros. There was a dispute, but most of the Basil were not there, hardly anybody was there. and there were disputes between Mishama and Basila, so the Mishama were in the majority that one day, so they voted on 18 issues, and they outvoted the Basila. Then when the rest of the Basila came back, so they were maskim with the Mishama, so those 18 psalm remained. So when the Gemara discusses there, Yutches Gzeris, where the Mishama outvoted the Basila, so one of them has to do with this din of Midirabbanan. They invented Gzeris Midirabbanan, all dinim Midirabbanan, not dinim. Bisham Yisrael had many disputes on the level of the Raisa, but these 18 Zeris, these are all issues the Rabbanan. So one of them is this din the Rabbanan, that Habba Rosha Beruba B'mayim Shuvim, that makes him Tameh, even if a person is Tahar. He went to Mikvah last week and he didn't become Tameh yet. He takes a bath, Rosha Beruba B'mayim Shuvim, as someone pours buckets of water on top of him, Habba Rosha Beruba B'mayim Shuvim, so that makes him Tameh. So there's a Rashi there on that Gemara where Rashi seems to say that there are two different dinim. There's one din, if you went to mikveh, and then on the same day that you went to mikveh, after going to the mikveh, they poured Rosh Rubo, Maim Shuvim, on top of you, that undoes the mikveh midirabbanan. In a third, there is no such thing. Midirabbanan, the din is that it undoes the tefillah in the mikveh. And then if the person went to mikveh, the man or the woman went to mikveh last week, and this week he's bore Rosh Rubo, Maim Shuvim, that's a question. We'll get to it. Okay. So Habo Rosh Ram Shuvim, so makes him Tom and Mikanal Habo. But if he does on the same day that he went to Mikveh, he's going to be Bo Rosh Ram Shuvim, so then it's Mashma from Rashi that it undoes Lamafreya, Midirabban, undoes the Tefillah in the Mikveh. So there was a Chumah that many Balei HaTosfot had, that if a woman goes to Mikveh, and she's materis labayla, and then she takes only a shower, not a bath. Because this new din, that's only a shower because of the maisha shoy, because that's what they used to do in the days of the Tanoim. They used to go to mikveh, and the mikveh was used by 1,000 different people, so it was filthy, had everybody's germs, and it was filthy water. So they wanted to wash off, they used to take a shower right after going to the mikveh. And then, once they washed off with the shower, so then a lot of people thought, how can it be that the mikveh makes them thought, makes us filthy, and the shower is clean water. That's why they took the shower after the mikveh to wash over the dirty water. So they said, we can dispense with the mikveh. The mikveh is just a hachana to the shower. So just take the clean shower, and I'm a ramen. You don't need the whole mikveh. So that was a disaster, because the shower was maim shuvim. It's not a kosher mikveh. So the chachamim wanted to... They were concerned about this misunderstanding. The people thought, so they said, not only is the shower not mitar, it undoes the tefillah l'mafreh. So some Rishonim say this whole issue that it undoes l'mafreh is only by shower, doesn't apply to a bath. And others said, no, a bath and a shower. Just like the din is if I went to mikveh last week, and I take either a bath or a shower today. Habo Rosh Beruba Maim Shuvim. Either through a bath or a shower, it's mitamimi mikanal habo. So too, if I take a bath or a shower on the same day, it's oikel amafreh midirabbanan, oikel amafreh the whole tefillah in the mikveh. So this is one of the 18 shaylos, I think, or the 14 shaylos, I forgot already what it was, that the Or Zoruah sent to the Tosfos Rit. The Tosfos Rit writes that the whole thing is ridiculous, doesn't make any sense at all. There is no such thing as undoes l'mafreh. So the Or Zoruah prints all the 14 shaylos, I think, Shilas, and then he writes the tshuva of the Tosfos Rit, and he accepts what he answered. And then when it comes to this, he says, even though I asked you, and I thought I'm going to accept what you said, but I just can't accept your kula, because the tradition is so strong. In Germany, he lived in Vienna. The tradition was so strong over there in that part of Europe that he felt that he can't break with the Masar. So this is quoted in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, that if a woman went to mikveh, she shouldn't take a bath or a shower the same day, because it'll undo the tefillah in the mikveh and asa lebailo. If it's only mitameh mikanal habo, so it's mitameh, but it doesn't make her asur lebailo. But if you say that it's oikel tefillah lemafreya, also you should say only oikel tefillah lemafreya with respect to tumah betar, not with respect to lebailo. So that was the chumra that some of the Balei HaTosfot had. That the Ramah quotes the Or Zoruah that you should observe that chumra. So the question is, what's the definition of the same day? Some amekel, it only applies if you take the bath or the shower in the same building where you went into the mikveh. Once you go home, it doesn't apply. So, and some printed like that in their swarm, they have guidelines. If you want to go to the Harabais, make sure you go to the mikveh and don't say a bracha because it's a suffix. Maybe lo kitchelosi lover. The rabbi holds there's no kedusha in the Harabais, so there's no need for you to go to the mikveh. The only time you say a bracha is when it's necessary to go to the mikveh. If you don't gain anything by going to the mikveh, so you don't say a bracha on it. So if it's a married woman, she's materis labada, so you say a bracha. And if the din requires you have to go to mikveh to visit Harabais, then you say a bracha. But since it's not so clear, because the rabbi holds like kitchela, so obviously you should not say a bracha. And then they print in the books, and the person should be careful not to go take a shower or a bath right after the mikveh in the same building, because then it'll be yokel amafreya based on this Rashi. But if as long as it's a different building and take a bath or shower, that's not a problem. The Rav Moshe doesn't hold like that. Rabbi Tendler says also like that, only in the same building. But his father-in-law, Rav Moshe Feinstein, doesn't agree with him. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, it applies up until Harav Shemesh. If the woman went to mikveh at 10 o'clock at night, she has to wait till Tzeisa Kochavim tomorrow. That's considered the same day. Up until Harav Shemesh, even on the Chumash, it's only relevant for Truma V'Kochim, but here it's relevant for this din. That's what Rav Moshe says. Up until Harav Shemesh, the tefillah is incomplete, and it lends itself on the level of the Rabban, lends up to be undone, to be nekal amafreya if the person's going to be nichnas rosh v'ruba into mayim shuvim. So again, so there's a din, not allowed to eat truma until Harav Shemesh. So what's the definition of Harav Shemesh? So the Gemara says, so the Vilna Gaon says, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. It shouldn't say Tzeis HaKohavim. He says, Tzeis HaKohavim is only true Aliba, the Rabbi Yossi. There's a Machlekes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yudah. How long is Bein HaShmashes? Rabbi Yudah's opinion is that the whole block of time, around 25 minutes, that's the Sofi Yom Sofik Laila. And that's Bein HaShmashes. And then after that block of time, then it's Tzeis HaKohavim. And Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion the whole Bein HaShmashes is Keheref Ayin. And the Gemara here on the bottom of base on the base, the Gemara has a difficult statement of Rav Meir. We don't understand it. So the Gemara says Rav Meir holds like Rav Yossi, and that paragraph is the whole problem. On the bottom of base on the base. So according to Rav Yossi, and Rav Meir agrees with Rav Yossi, it's Vada Yayim. If the Shkia nothing changes, it's still Vada Yayim till you reach either the last terrifying of Rav Yudah's block of time or the next terrifying. Those are the two opinions in Maseches Nida. Do they tell you on the side where it is? Here it says Nida Daf Nun Gimel. But they tell you Rabbi Yossi's opinion. The last line on base on the base of the Maseches Hashas on this side tells you it's quoted in Nida Daf Nun Gimel. So Nida Daf Nun Gimel, there are two versions, two braises, where the Rabbi Yossi means to say the whole period of Rabbi Yudah is Vadayim, and the next terrifying is Bein HaShmashes. So no, the last terrifying of Rabbi Yudah's block of time, the last terrifying is the Bein HaShmashes, and the Tzeis HaKohavim is exactly the same as Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yudah are the same thing. So the Vilna Gaon thinks that when the Gemara says, Bo HaShemesh V'Toher, you have to wait till Harav Shemesh means you have to wait till Tzeis HaKohavim, that's only Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. That is Vadayim up until Harifayin. So then, up until Laila, up until that Harifayin, the tummy is still tummy. But if the din would be like Rabbi Yudah, then once you get after Shkia into that period of that block of time of 25 minutes at Safi Yom Safik Laila, he's already allowed to eat the Chuma. How can it be eat the Chuma? So we didn't understand. Stachas Safi Yom Safik Laila. Safi Yom Safik Laila. So maybe it is not yet a Harav Shemesh. So the Vilna Gaon seems to be assuming such a Dovah Pashut. He doesn't explain it. He's assuming like the Ritva, that the reason why it's a Safek Yom, it's not a Safek. The Mishnah says Beferish increases. The Safek Yom, Safek Laila is, you don't know whether the cutoff point between Yom and Laila is Shkia, 2 minutes later, 2 minutes later, 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later. You don't know where to draw the line. Wherever you draw the line, up until then is Yom, and after then is Laila. That's what it says in the Mishnah increases. So the Ritva says, not like that. The Ritva says, that's one Tana says that. The Mishnah increases quotes, one Tana says like that. And he thinks all the other Tanaim don't agree. They think that Yom, and it's both Yom and Laila, and you treat it like a Sufik. Whenever you have a tie to the Sasri, you treat it as if it were a Sufik. So the Vilna Gaon seems to be assuming like that. He says it's if you're like Reb Yehuda, you can already eat truma during Beit HaShemashos. That's a big chiddush. You ask any person with his head screwed on straight, they say it's against the Ofen HaGemaras. Against the Gemara. The Vilna Gaon says against the Gemara. He says the Gemara is a Toa Sefer. He says when the Gemara says Teis HaKochavim is Har Shemesh, that's only Aliba the Reb Yosi, because it's Vada Yom, nothing changed until you get to the Harifayin. So Harifayin, okay, you can eat truma during the Harifayin. You have to wait till it's Teis HaKochavim. But if the din would be like Reb Yehuda, so Reb Yehuda, that's a vaday different time period. It's a new time period. The yom is over. Now it's a new time period of yom and laila together. So you can already eat the truma. Why don't you say sofik deraisa l'chumra? I don't know. He holds that he says the pasuk pshat in the pasuk. Ovah Shemesh v'Torah sounds like after the Bias HaShemesh, after the Shki, you're allowed to eat. After the Shki, you're allowed to eat. Why? Because you've entered a new time period. Even though the Tahara procedure is not yet completed, are you all that it is completed? Sure. But to get to Truma, it is completed. Once the Yom is over and you're into a new time period of Yom V'Lailam, one superimposed on top of the other, the Laila superimposed on top of the Yom, so that's already called the Bias Shimsho. That's called Har Shemesh. Nobody assumes like that. Nobody assumes. You always assume not like the Vilna Gaon, based on the way it says in the Gemara, that Har Shemesh is Teisuk Ham. So he said, that's only Aliba the Rabbi Yosi. Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda, it's not true.
It's not the Ritva. It's not the same thing as the Ritva.
That's already a mile past the Ritva.
Yeah, mile.
He's a major step past the Ritva. Correct? Yes.
Why would you assume that Tosos have to hold like Rifka that Finish Moshos as its own time period as opposed to saying that Kol is the Marbid Zman that's before Laila? Whatever that time is.
Again, Taisvis argues with Rashi. If Rashi holds that Sofik Deraisa Lechumra applies to the first parasha, it should apply equally to the second parasha because they're both Deraisa. But to the Zichiris Yetzias Mitzrayim, that they're not worried about.
Maybe because he holds that Rabbanon.
Zichiris Yetzias Mitzrayim Balayla is the Rabbanon. I mean, the whole Kol. Hayamim Kol Yimei Chayecha Halelos. Nah, I don't think so. That's the Machlekes. Well, the Kol Lohavi the Mos HaMashiach. Our Kol is to be Marba Leilos. So either it's Marbi, Mos HaMashiach is Marba Leilos. Pashto says, whatever it's Marba is going to be a Din Der Aisa.
Plus it's talking about reading Kriya Shema, so... Reading the third parasha of Kriyashma, reading Vayomer, Rabbanan.
Why should it be the Rabbanan? That's for the purpose of Zechiris Mitzrayim. Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim Vayomer Balayla is Deraisa. So if you read it Bein HaShemashos, I would have said that Safek Deraisa L'chumah, you have to say over. So that doesn't bother the Rishayim. They're only bothered about the second parasha. If the first parsha is Sofik Deraisa L'chumra, the second parsha should also be Sofik Deraisa L'chumra. But in Vayomer, that they're prepared to, that they'll swallow. That doesn't bother them.
Maybe,
Rashi says Yoytzi, but...
Maybe they mean Vayomer, you can say earlier, and at some point you say a sentence about remembering Mitzrayim. Sometimes.
No, they didn't say that. That's the question. They didn't say that. Sounds like you get the, from the Rabbeinu Yoni, you get the impression that your Yoytzi is a Chiyosetzias Mitzrayim with the Kriyashma that you said in Shul. Why? So that was my suggestion. And maybe since it's only learned that from a Rebbe Kol, so it doesn't mean Balayla. It doesn't say Laila. It means another Zman. Man Tizkar Semtzen Kol Yimechayecha Mechayecha Hayomim Kol Yimechayecha is Marba another Zman. So it doesn't have to be necessarily Halelos, but it has to be a Zman that's other than Yom. So what's a Zman? So Bein HaShemashos, we usually assume it's a Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. You don't know where to draw the cutoff point. So you should say Sofik Deraisa L'chumra. So that's what I'm suggesting. Maybe these Rishonim are of the opinion like that Ritva, that Bein HaShemashos is both Yom and Laila. So that itself constitutes a new time period, a time that's both Laila and Yom. Laila is superimposed on top of Yom. So that'll be Nisrabah from the word Kol. But if it would have been a din of Laila, we would have said that the Bein HaShemashos is a Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. Yeah, it's a fantastic Chiddush. And then the Prima Gaon had, there are four opinions how much of Kriya Shema is Deraisa. So the first opinion was that Ramban, the Chiddush, the big Chiddush, the Mohammed, that the Prima Gaon discovered. Second sheet is Rashi. Rashi entices that Yodua. Rashi holds only Parsha Rishon is Deraisa, Parsha Shnia, Shach b'chumecha means Talmud Torah. Tosfos holds that if you hold Kriyashma deraisa, shtei parshas are deraisa. The third parsha is totally unrelated to the first two parshas. It's for the purpose of the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Rambam writes, how much do you have to read to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyashma? The three parshios. So from the Rambam is mashma, a pella, why? Rambam is mashma, that reading of the third parsha is also for the purpose of Kriyashma. How can it be for the purpose of Kriyashma? It has nothing to do with Kriyashma. It doesn't say B'shach B'chov Kamecho. It's a different mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested, that the tzlach is bothered with a kasha, and that if you would have a chibra and brachas, that's called the tzion and nefesh chaya. Who died? His wife died. Who was chaya? His wife or his mother? I forgot. Mother. Mother chaya died. I remember when my mother passed away, so there was a rabbi, I forgot his name. There was a big Talmud Chacham in Toronto. He wrote a lot of Sfarim. He studied Yeshua. What was his name?
Felder.
Rabbi Felder. Right, Rabbi Felder, Zachar Leroy. So he told me I should publish something in memory of my mother. I was surprised he knew my mother. I was surprised he knew her name. Her name was Chaya. So he says, I should call it Tzion HaNefesh Chaya. Just like the Nevi Yehuda wanted to memorialize his mother, so he said, so I printed in the end of my sefer, Eretz HaTzvi, I printed Advar Torah for my father, and I called that Tzion HaNefesh Chaya. That was a memorial to my mother. That was Rabbi Felder's suggestion. Okay. So the tzlach is bothered with Akasha. How come the Rambam wrote a whole sefer on mitzvahs? He lists off which under 613 mitzvahs, and he doesn't mention the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim by Yom HaBalayla. Well, he holds the whole thing is only an asmachta, it's only with the Rabbanon, that's why he didn't count it. Why didn't he count Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the pashtus is, the simple answer is, that the Rambam wrote 14 klolim, the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, second half the Rambam gets down to listing off which are the 248 mitzvahs sesei, which are the 365 mitzvahs lay sesei. But in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam gives you the 14 klolim, the 14 guiding principles, which determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the listing or not. So the first klal he says is that they only include in the 613 mitzvahs something that's deraisa. It's only the Rabbanon you don't include it. So the Rama meant to say that this is only with the Rabbanon? Probably not. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sounds like it's a real drasha gemur. But then the Rama has another klal. I think it's the third of the klalim. Or maybe the second. I forgot. So the Rambam says you only include whatever is lefi pshutu shal mikra, whatever is only known through a drasha with the Torah Shabbal Peh doesn't belong in the minyan mitzvahs. Why not? Because the Rambam's opinion is that the Bezdin of every generation has the right to darshan psukim the way they see fit. They don't have to have a tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It says kol ma shetamid vasek gosel lechadish nemar lo Moshe misinai. So doesn't mean you have to have a tradition. So the Rambam says it doesn't mean that. That's what the Goyim said. The Goyim were of the opinion that a later Bezdin in any generation cannot come up with a new din. If there was a tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, then a later Bezdin should try to look for a remez in the Yudgim Lumiyash Alternate Rosh Hashem to substantiate that the tradition is accurate. But you can't use the Midrash Alternate Rosh Hashem to come up with a new din on which you do not have a tradition. That's what the Rambam said. He disagrees with the Goyim. He says what the Goyim said is an embarrassment to the Jewish people, that every time there's a machlokes in the Gemara, it's a machlokes, what was the tradition? Because you couldn't express an opinion unless you had a tradition. Can't come up in the new din unless you had a masar. So the Rambam says that's an embarrassment to the Klal Yisrael. The Rambam has here in the introduction to his Pirush HaMishnah, here after the Rosh, here, page Nunhei, Nunvav, the long introduction, Hakdamas HaRambam, the Seder is right. So he writes like that, where he attacks the Shitas HaGem. So according to the Rambam, that the Bezdin in every generation can come up with new drushes. So maybe in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu there was 613, but then what are you going to do? Next generation, you're going to come up with another 15 mitzvahs. Next generation, another 15. So every time they come up with a new din derisa, they have to throw out 15 mitzvahs that used to be before, because you know, you can only have 613. So the Rambam Lishita said, the Rambam is forced into assuming, no, 613, you start with 613, Lefipshutu Shal Mikra. Then the Bezdin in every generation has the right to darshan whatever they see fit. So it could be that that's why the Pashit Pshat, the Minchas Chinuch quotes this, could be that that's the reason why the Rambam didn't count, didn't include the mitzvah of Zechir Tzis Mitzrayim. Because that's not, clearly, that's not Pshutu Shal Mikra. The Pashit says in Parshas Re'ei, you should eat Korban Pesach on Pesach, Laman Tiskar. You should eat Pesach, Matzah, Morer, and by doing so, you should remember Zechias Mitzrayim for the rest of your life. And the Tanoim had an additional level of interpretation that Laman Tizikar doesn't only mean Lefi Pshuto, the simple translation, the simple level of interpretation. By eating Korban Pesach, you will remember for the rest of your life the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Laman Tizkar means Laman Tazikir. In addition to eating Korban Pesach on Pesach night, you should also Laman Tazkir, you should mention Zechias Mitzrayim Kol Yimecha Yecha Yimecha Yecha Hayamim Kol Yimecha Hayecha Halelos Bayom HaBalayla. It's a mitzvah to mention Zechias Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's a mitzvah only known through the Torah Shemal Peh. That's not at all the Pshutu Shal Mikra. Pshutu Shal Mikra goes on eating Korban Pesach and Matzah. And by eating Pesach and Matzah on Leil HaSeder, you will remember for the rest of your life the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's a Pashut to answer why the Rambam didn't include this. So Rab Chaim gave an additional two answers on the Kashin. So the one answer is much more famous than the other. The one answer that everyone says over the name Rab Chaim is that there is a Machlokes HaTanaim at the end of the first Perek. How do you darshan the word kol? Kol Yemech HaYecha. Whether kol is Lahavi L'mois HaMashiach, that the mitzvah will even apply to Mois HaMashiach? Or no, maybe the Mois HaMashiach, the mitzvah will not apply. Because the Pasuk says, what does the Pasuk say? We will no longer talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hine yamim bo'im liyum Hashem Yirmiyah. Here, it's four lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Beis on the base. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyah. Hine yamim bo'im liyum Hashem. The third line from the bottom below. Yomerad Chay Hashem Shehel as Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim. We will no longer speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim. That will be ancient history. Kiim. We will rather only talk Chay Hashem Shehel of Hashem Yisrael Beis Yisrael Meretz Tzafonim Mikol Aretz Ashehidichem Ashehidachtim Shom. You will no longer talk about Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's the Machlokes HaTanaim. Do you take the Pasuk literally, and the mitzvah of Zechiris Mitzrayim will not be Nohig Limos HaMashiach. And the word Kol, Kol Yimechayech, Kol is Marbe Leilois. Or should we say, no, Balayla, you're not Mechiv to mention Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim, and you're only Mechiv Limos HaMashiach. So we Paskin Balayla, you are Mechiv. So it sounds like we Paskin that Lahavi Limos HaMashiach is not correct. The mitzvah will not apply to Mos HaMashiach. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is quoted as saying, if the mitzvah will not apply to Mos HaMashiach, then basically it's a Hayro HaShoah. So usually Hayro HaShoah means if a Navi comes down and he says, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, a Navi comes and he says, I was told the Hayro HaShoah, you have to eat potato chips now in the middle of Shia. Everybody has to go get potato chips and eat it right now. So that doesn't belong in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, Tayyag Mitzvahs. Hayro HaShoah, just for now, you have to eat potato chips. Or whatever, the Navi tells you, everyone should give the Gemara back to the store and buy a Steinsaltz Gemara. Hayro HaShoah, everybody has to do something. So that's Hayro HaShoah, is a Devar Nevuah. A mitzvah, Nehegas L'doris, is what Moshe Rabbeinu was told Bnei Yisrael, mitzvah Nehegas L'doris. So that's famous Rab Chaim. That's the famous answer Rab Chaim said. That the way we pass in L'alocha, that we mentioned, we recite the third parasha of Shema Balaylo. So we assume that kol is marbe leilos, so it's not marbe lemos hamashiach, so the mitzvah will not be noig lemos hamashiach. And we take the pasuk in Yirmiyah literally, le'yomer ad chay Hashem she'el is meis on the eretz Mitzrayim. We will not speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So then then the whole mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is only a Hayro HaShoah, and it's not a mitzvah in the Haggis of the dirt. That's why the Rambam didn't include it. So that's questionable. Is that really called the Hayro HaShoah? Maybe Hayro HaShoah means very limited in time. One day, 1 week, 40 years, not to leave over the month. That was for 40 years. There was a din. After the 40 years are up, there is no din. So the Rambam didn't include that in the Sefer HaMitzvah, not to leave over the month till the morning.
In our times,
we do have the mitzvah. Yeah. We have the mitzvah of Zechiris and have for 3,000 years.
New era.
Yeah.
Rosh Mashiach is a new era.
Yeah.
That's
yes, and maybe it's not called the Hayro Ashur. There's room to be mefakbek on that. That's the famous answer Rav Chaim said. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say another answer. I remember I once visited Rav David Soloveitchik many years ago. So he, the first time I visited him, so he said, how come Rav Soloveitchik in Boston doesn't print all the Torah that he heard from his father? So I said, he's about to print something. I was the editor of the Beis Yitzchak one year, and he gave me a long kuntres on Kriya Shema to print. So the end of the story was, he was dragging out so long, we held the Beis Yitzchak for around 2 years. We didn't print it because we were waiting till he's going to correct the galley. He never printed with us, but we printed the Beis Yitzchak without him, and then he printed it in the two volumes of Shur Mezecher Abba Mori. So the first piece and the first sefer is this long kuntres, 40, 50 pages long. He told me at that time he has another 18 kuntresim, but I don't know where they are. He said, after we print this, then we're going to print all the others. So no one knows where the other ones are. So he finally printed that. So David Soloveitchik asked me, what does it say in the kuntres on Kriya Shema? I said, we're about to print it. I thought we were about to print it. So I said, what does it say? I said, one of the things about why the Rambam doesn't count Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim. So he says, we all know that the Rav Chaim said the answer. So I said, that was one answer. I said, what was the other answer? So I told him the other one. He said, he never heard of that. That was Rav Soloveitchik's cousin. Brisker up, he said, never heard the other answer. The other answer Rav Soloveitchik said was that Rav Chaim thought that Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim, according to the Rambam, doesn't exist as an independent mitzvah. It's to enhance the mitzvah of Kabbalos HaMalchus Shamayim. Just like the Ibn Ezra points out on the Pasuk in Aseres Hadibros, Anoche Hashem Alokecha, Shehotzeh Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Beis Avodim. Why doesn't it say, Anoche Hashem Alokecha Shebarasu Shamayim Ba'aretz? The answer is that the Ibn Ezra quotes from Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, he asked that question. The story goes that he was a son-in-law of Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi. So they say it's a fairy tale. They say it's not true. Okay. But they knew each other. The story goes that Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi was in the middle of writing a poem, and the Ibn Ezra came, and he asked for an adobe. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi was not home, so his wife didn't give, whatever. And then Ibn Ezra saw that the poem was incomplete, so he filled in the missing lines. He decided what to write to finish in the poem. So when Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi came home, so he asked his wife, who filled in the rest of the poem? That's very good. So she said, this is Oni who is here. So then he invited him in, and he had to marry his daughter. That's how the story goes. The fable. But they're not sure whether he really married his daughter. They're not sure if he ever finished the poem. But this they know. They knew each other. Ibn Ezra traveled all over. He was a poor man. He traveled all over. So he quotes Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi. Why do you say, Anoche Hashem Alokecha Asher because they experienced that themselves. They lived through the Esam Makas and the Kriyas Yamsuf and everything. So they saw Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So the same is by us. The mitzvah of Kabbalah Samacha Shemaim is Al Yedei Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We didn't live through it, but our ancestors told us. We have a historical tradition. I knew both sets of grandparents, and they knew their parents, and they knew their parents and their grandparents all the way back till Esamachus, and this is the historical record that they told them, that Esamachus really happened, and Yetzias Mitzrayim really happened with the Nisim and Nefilos. And all the Ikori Hamuna were demonstrated on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, we say Yetzias Mitzrayim with it because we know that it's true, Hashem Echad, because our ancestors lived through Yetzias Mitzrayim. And they told us that at that time all the psil elahim, all the psilim, all the avodasoras of the mitzrim fell apart. And it was clear and obvious to everybody there was a gilu shechina on the occasion of Makas Becharis, there was a gilu shechina on the occasion of Rosh Shibcha Layam, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Maimon HaSina. There was gilu shechina. So they know that it's true. So that's what we said, the Gemara says in the beginning of the second parashah, that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi used to smuggle in the prosecution, Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He used to give shiurim. He was the chief rabbi, so he felt obligated to transmit Torah to the public. So he gave shiurim from early in the morning. He gave a shiur before it was time to daven shachris. He gave a shiur, and then that shift of people went to daven. Then the next shift came, and he gave a shiur to them. Then the next shift, and he didn't daven until after the whole Zman was up. He didn't say Kriya Shema until after Zman Kriya Shema. So the Gemara says, so what was with Kriya Shema? So the Gemara says, when the shift was going in and coming out, he said the Pasuk Rishon, that's all. And when he put his hand over his eyes, he said Pasuk Rishon, that's all. And the rest he didn't say. So the Gemara has a discussion. He would always be mahadar to say, to read a parsha from Chumash in the middle of the Shir, that a mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim in it. What was that for? In order to be Yetzias Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim Bizman Kriya Shema. So it sounds, why did it have to be? Kriya Shema has a Zman. B'shach b'chot kamecha, when normal people are waking up. People don't sleep in bed so late. People go to work in the morning. So they have to finish. When is my Kriya Shema now? 9:15 or something? I don't know. When is my Kriya Shema this part of the world?
9:10.
Uh-huh. So you have to finish my Kriya Shema by the time people are getting out of bed. But what does it have to do with Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or it says, no, Rebbe was Mahader. He wanted to mention Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim during this man of Kriya Shema. Why? B'shach v'kamecha says by Kriya Shema. It doesn't say by Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why should it apply? So the Shagasari says it's only made the Rabbanan. There is no such din in Atar. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested, according to what his grandfather Rav Chaim said, that the answer to the kasha of the Tzlach, that the Rambam didn't count Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim as an independent mitzvah, because it's not an independent mitzvah, it's part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. It's Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim Ayidei Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim. Laka Anoche Shem Elokecha Shehotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So the Sozman Kriya Shema applies to the Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim also. So it's not like the Shagasari says, it's only a Chumim the Rabbanan to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim within the Zman, the Sozman Kriya Shema. No, it's one and the same mitzvah, and the Sozman Kriya Shema applies to the Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. That was the second answer that he said to Shem Rav Chaim. So that's what it appears from the Rambam. Because the Prima Gaon quoted the four opinions. How much are Kriya Shema's the rest? They said the fourth opinion is the Rambam, that all three parshas are for the purpose of Kriya Shema. How can it be? The third parsha doesn't say, Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim doesn't say, B'shach B'chav Kumecha. What does it have to do with Kriya Shema? Aren't they two unrelated mitzvahs? So that's what Rav Chaim suggested, no. That's why the Rambam didn't count it as a separate mitzvah, because it's part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So that's why you say it together. Makes better sense. The Bala Tanya works on that in the Tanya. It's a little bit. It's a book on Hashkafa. It doesn't belong there, but he raises the issue. Why do you say Vayomer after the first two parshas of Shema? He doesn't assume. He assumes that it's a separate mitzvah. He doesn't assume that it goes together. So he says something. I don't remember what. He works on this issue. Okay. There's an interesting passage in the Rabbeinu Yonah on the opening Mishnah. I should sit and read all the Rabbeinu Yonah, but I don't. But the Tzlach read all the Rabbeinu Yonah, and then the Netziv read all the Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Netziv brings this one to our attention. Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the Rav Amram Goin, who says that if you daven Ma'ariv after Tzeis HaKochavim, and you were in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, in the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema, then there's no need to recite the Birchas HaMitzvah of Kriya Shema. Baruch Atah Hashem, Asher Kedushanu V'Nitzasu V'Tzivanu, Likros HaShema, you don't need it, because you have the Birchas Kriya Shema, before and after. But if you daven too early, and you were you weren't Yotzei Kriya Shema, because you daven before Tzei Sekhovim, and you have to repeat Kriya Shema later, then you have to recite a brach Hashem Kedushanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu Likros Hashma, because Kol HaMitzvos Kulam Arach Aleim Ma'ivah L'Asiyos. So the Rabbeinu Yonah asked, it doesn't make any sense. So why is it different if he's davening Bizman? If he davens Ma'ariv after Tzeis HaKochavim, should also say a bracha Abichas HaMitzvah Hashem Kedushanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu Likros Hashma. What does it help that he's saying in the middle of the framework of the Birchas Kriya Shema? But there is no Birchas HaMitzvah there on the Mitzvah of Kriya Shema. That's Rabbein Yonah's Kasha against the Rav Amram Goin. So the Netziv comes to answer the Kasha. He has an Ishurim on Shas that he delivered. These were the Ishurim that he gave in Valoshin. And they have the dates, what year it was and what month it was. it's kedai to look at the dates to see how long it took to finish a mesichta. They learned approximately a blot every day. They covered approximately a blot. This befeirish, she has all the dates, how long it took to finish a mesichta. So he gave shiurim on Saita. They covered for the, in Valojin, they didn't have seven chosen mesichtas. And all the yeshivas, they just learned Yevamis and Ksubis, Gidmi, Gedushin, and Baba Kama, Baba Mitzir, Baba Basra, the seven mesichtas. Noshim and Zik, and that was all, the seven mesichtas. And Valojin, their practice was, they learned from Brochus to Nida. They learned everything. There's no mesichta deserves more respect than the other. They're all important, equally important. And they covered everything. They covered all of Shas. By the Hasidim, they have a practice. The single boys don't learn Gemara neither. They don't learn the Sugya Pesach Pesuch Matzosi. So in the Miri Yeshiva, when Rav Osher Arieli gives Shir, he has 700 Talmidim in his Shir. So when he learns Pesach Pesuch Matzosi, 300 students disappear until, so he covers it quickly, and then when he's already finished with the Pesach Pesuch, sorry, then they all show back again. Then all the Hasidim come back again. And in Valojin, they never had that. They learned everything. Rav Soloveitchik used to give shir on everything. And they gave a shir on Moed Katan also, Hilchus Avelus. The Chasam Sofer writes a meaning that you never learn Hilchus Avelus, only when one is in Avelus, then you learn Hilchus. Somebody asked the Mashal in Hilchus Avelus. So he waited till he was sitting shiva a few years later, and then he sent him an answer. He said, it's probably too late. He sent me a shiva a few years ago, it's probably too late. But that's the meaning, that you don't learn Hilchus Avelus unless you're in the middle of Avelus. So Rav Mendel Zaks, who is the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim, they had signs up and the halls downstairs about Rav Mendel Zaks. They had the first week they had about Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the second week they had about Rav Moshe Shatzkis, then the third week they had about Rav Mendel Zaks. I remember Rav Mendel Zaks. He gave shurim in Radin. He married the Chafetz Chaim's daughter. He gave shurim in Radin. He gave smicha in Radin. He gave Dr. Belkin smicha. So he was the Bochen in the yeshiva in my time. So Mendel Zaks had tainus against Rav Soloveitchik, why he was learning Nida with single boys, and why he was giving shurim on Elam Megalchen on the Perek about Abim. So he said, Rav Soloveitchik said, in Valojin they always did. And this yeshiva was a carryover of Valojin. This yeshiva was a combination of two yeshivas from the lower east side. One was Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim was named after Valojin. The other one was yeshiva of Yitzchok Chana, because it was established within the first year after Rabbi Yitzchok Chana passed away. And then this yeshiva is a combination of both. So the Netziv has shiurim on Soita. So in Perek El Nemorim, towards the second half of Soita, the Gemara talks about duchening, the deepening of Nesias Kapai. So the Gemara says, one of the Tanoim says, it's a Gemara Megillah also, I don't remember, maybe it's the Mirai Misoda, I don't remember, whether Mirai Misoda, the Shurim of Dinitzi, whether this one is a Megillah, he gave Shurim on Megillah also, or on Saita, he gave Shurim on Saita. So the Gemara says, different Tanoim and Amraim live to a ripe old age, and the Talmidim asked them, B'meh harachta yamim, what do you attribute your long life to? Each one gave a different midas chasidus. So one of the Tanoim says, I'm a Kohen, and whenever I duchen, I always recite a bracha, Shekharishan, Bikdushas, and Shalam, and Sivan, and the bracha, and Israel, Biyahavo. So the Rishonim ask a question, the Meiri raised the question, isn't that required? That's what's the midas chasidus? The Gemara has him brachas, the Gemara has him psochim dabzain, kolam mitzvus kulam, mevorach aleim, moi velasi osam. You're always obligated to recite a birchas ha-mitzvah before you're about to perform a mitzvah, a manishtana, birchas kohanim, from anything else. So the Netziv has a fantastic answer. The Meiri raises the question, and the Meiri gives an answer. It's a very good question. So the Meiri, because of the kasha, he suggests maybe what it means to say is that even if you would duchen by a second minyan, and you're not mechuyev min haTorah, not mechuyev even min haRabbanan, you're only mechuyev to duchen once a day, every day, unless it's shachris and musaf. Kach tikna chachamim, got to duchen by musaf also. But if you're ready duchen by the first minyan, there's neither a din deraisa nor a din deRabbanan requiring of you they have to duchen by the second minyan. Even if they call upon you to duchen, you're not mechuyev. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Machlokes Achrayim. What if a person volunteers? He agrees. Like over here in the neighborhood, whenever the aguda wouldn't have a koyen to duchen on yontiv, so we'd ask one of the, we'd ask Harry Cohen, so we'd ask one of the Kohanim to come from Breuers to duchen by them. So he would. He would duchen and broyas shachris, then he would daven musaf in the aguda, then he would duchen this. And maybe that shachris and musaf. But let's say he already duchen the shachris and the musaf. And broyas are duchen shachris and musaf on yontif. So let's say he already duchen shachris and musaf. Then he's going to duchen a second time. And musaf in the aguda. Would he say a bracha? So the Magen Avraham has a machloikas on that. So the Miri, so Rabbi Felder, writes in a sefer, you say the Ishurun, that this matter is a machlekes achreinim, and the only Rishon that talks about it is the Meiri. And the Meiri says pshat and the Gemara, that's b'meher achta yamim, that he said a bracha. So since the only Rishon that talks about it says you do say a bracha, so that's the common practice, that you do say a bracha when you duchen a second time. That's how the Meiri interprets. That was the Bidus Chasidus of the Tana, that he said a bracha even if he would duchen a second time. The first time he said bracha, of course he said bracha. It's a double poshet, why not? Even if he would duchen a second time for a second minyan, and not mechuyim in Torah, not mechuyim in the Rabban, he still said a bracha. So the Netziv gives a different suggestion. He doesn't say, like, he doesn't quote, he didn't have a miri. He doesn't quote the miri, didn't have a miri. So he gives a different suggestion. So he quotes the Balamor, I think, in Rosh Hashanah. The Balamor says in Rosh Hashanah that in the days of the Gemara, they didn't blow shofar before Musaf. They blew shofar in the middle of Chazar Sashat. The Gemara says, we blow Tkiyas the Miyuman and Tkiyas the Miyushav. So he says, yeah, Tkiyas the Miyushav means in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei when everybody's sitting in their seat and there's decorum in the synagogue. And Tkiyas the Miyuman is when everybody's walking out, everybody's folding up their talesim and walking out. That's called Tkiyas the Miyuman. We call Tkiyas the Miyushav the Tkiyas that you blow before the Amidah, before Musaf. And the Tkiyas the Miyuman is the Tkiyas in the middle of the Chazaras Hashatz. So the Balamor says that's not true. The practice of blowing shofar before Musaf was introduced in the days of the Goyim, because they introduced so many piyutim, so you're going to get home doomsday. It's going to be davening is going to take forever. So the Chodesh Muskenim and the Noshim of Boris and Manikas couldn't wait in shul so long. So they're not going to last so long to the end of the Chazaras Hashatz and Musaf. They can't wait till they hear all the Malchus Rana shofar. It's going to take forever till you get the shofar, so many piyutim. So days of the Goyim, when you introduce all the additional piyutim, so they introduce, they should blow shofar before Musaf, so those who will have to leave early will be yotze. But he claims in the days of the Gemara, they never had it. And he says, therefore, in the days of the Gemara, they never said a bracha, unless a guy davens bichidus at home. So then when he hears the kiyas, he says a bracha. But whenever the people daven on shul, there was no bracha on Asher Kedushanim and Mitzvah, it's on the Shema called shofar. They didn't recite a bracha on mitzvah, because the Tkiyas were done in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, in the middle of a framework of brachas. So the Balamor tells Yachidish that whenever a mitzvah is fulfilled within the framework of brachas, you don't recite a birchas hamitzvah. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik was fond of quoting from the Maisa Nisim Hagoda, the author of the Nesivos, wrote a lot of svarim. So he wrote the Derech HaChaim Siddur, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes on every other page, from the Derech HaChaim Siddur. So that's Piske Halacha. Then in the Derech HaChaim Siddur, he has a commentary on Haggadah. Because years ago, the old Sidurim, Chayechen of Yamechen, when I was a little boy, a normal Siddur, had a Haggadah in it. Because everybody would say the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadol. After Mincha, instead of saying Pirkei Avos or Shir HaMalos, they would read the Haggadah. Now they give you less for your money. They leave out, they want to charge you separate. They want to sell you a Siddur, and then they want to charge you for the Haggadah separately. But years ago it used to have, so that when the Nesivos put out his Siddur, he has his Piske Halacha Derech HaChaim Psokim, then he has his commentary. The Derech HaChaim Siddur has the commentary on Haggadah. That's called the Maisa Nisim Haggadah. So in the introduction to the Maisa Nisim Haggadah, he quotes this question from the Rishonim. How come we don't recite a Birchas HaMitzvah before reciting Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim? Sheker Rishonim Mitzvah Sivanu L'Sapa Yitzias Mitzrayim. So he gives an answer. He gives different answers from the Rishonim, then he gives his own answer. So his own answer is like this. How come we don't recite a Birchas HaMitzvah before we recite Birchas HaMazon? How come we don't say Hashem Kedushan V'Hatzlan L'Baruch HaLa Mazon? Or let's say a person says HaMotzi Lechem and Horus when he eats bread. Or he says, how come when you drink a cup of coffee? So that's a mitzvah with the Rabbanu to say Birchas HaNen. How come we don't say a bracha? And then say the bracha shahakol niyah bedvara hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Or when you say kiddush, there's so many mitzvahs that we don't say a bracha. So he comes up with an answer. Whenever the mitzvah itself is fulfilled in the form of a bracha, He's saying Abichas Hamazon. He's saying Hamotzi Lech Menhotz. So since the bracha itself is fulfilled in the form of a bracha, so they didn't think that it's necessary to introduce an additional bracha in advance. So then the Nesivas goes one step further, and he says that Tzipa Yetzias Mitzrayim is fulfilled within the framework of four brachas. The general outline of the Haggadah is that you have, the Gemara says this, the Gemara points it out, that you have four brachas alakos. You have Kiddush alakos, Hashir Ge'olonim alakos, Bichas Hamozen alakos, and Bichas Hashir. Bichas Hashir is Neshmas Kol Chai through the end, through Yishtavak. And everything else in between. So since Tzipa Yetzias Mitzrayim is fulfilled within the framework of brachas, the four brachas alakos, so they never felt it, they didn't feel it necessary to introduce an additional Bichas HaMitzvah. So that's apparently what the Balamor thinks. That was Bana Gemara, since they used to blow the shofar, I'll say the HaBrachas, after Malchus, after Zechonis, after Shofar, in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, it's a mitzvah that is fulfilled within the framework of brachas. They never instituted a Bichas HaMitzvah. The bracha on Tkiyah Shofar existed as Bana Gemara also, if a person didn't go to shul. So he would have a batikei blow for him separately. The Gemara says blowing shofar in the middle of Chazar Sasha, middle al Seder HaBrachas is only b'tzibur. The yochid you don't have like that. So whenever a yochid would have tkiyah shofar, he would say the bracha, the shmar kol shofar. But whenever the people went to shul, they wouldn't be. So that's what the Netziv answers regarding the duchening. This was a midas chasiz meikra din. Duchening doesn't require a bracha because kach tikno chachamim. Duchening should be in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. So since it's within the framework of all of the brachas of the Shemona Esrei, so that's why they never instituted an additional Bichas HaMitzvah. So he says, and that's what the Rabbi Yonah says over here in the name of Rav Amram Cohen. Ben Yonah doesn't understand it. Yes, it doesn't make any sense. But that's the Pshat in Rav Amram Cohen. If you read Davin Meir, we have to say Sokachovim. And then you were in fulfillment of Kriya Shema in the middle of Bichas Kriya Shema. So then there's no need for a Bichas HaMitzvah, Asher Kedushanu, B'mitzvah Yisrael V'tzivanu, Likro HaShma. But if you daven before Tzeis HaKochavim, so you weren't Yoytze Kriya Shema, then you have to repeat Kriya Shema later. So then you're saying Kriya Shema Sholei Al Seder HaBrachas, not within the framework of any Brachas. So that's why in that case, you'll need a bracha, shekereshonu, a bichas hamitzvah, shekereshonu, b'mitzvah, sabitzavanu, likros hashma.
According to this, why is it a hider to say a bracha in
Kriyashma? Yeah, how can you have a hider to invent a bracha? Isn't it a bracha levat tolo? Isn't it a bracha levat tolo? So he answers based on the Zohar. The Zohar says that it's not proper to give a bracha to a basa v'dam without first giving a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Zohar says it based on the story of Malkit Tzedek, Melech Shon V'Hotzi Lechem V'yayim Hukah Hein L'Kelo Yon. So Gemara in the Dorm condemns Malkit Tzedek. First he said, Baruch Avram V'Kelo Yon, Kodesh Shemayim V'Hotz, Baruch Kelo Yon, Shem Migen Tzarech V'Yadechem. First he said a bracha to the boss of Adam, Baruch Avram L'Kelo Yon, then afterwards, only afterwards, said a bracha to Hashem. So if you plan to give a bracha to both HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the boss of Adam, you should be magdim in the bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What if you're only planning to give a bracha to a boss of Adam? So that doesn't really say in the Gemara, that's what the Zohar seems to say, that whenever one is planning to give a bracha to a boss of Adam, you should first give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on Erev Yom Kippur it says when the minig is that the parents give a bracha to their children, so the Mate Ephraim or the Meforshim and the Mate Ephraim say that it should be Magdim, Psukim, Baruch Hashem Li'olam, Amen, Amen. Say a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you start saying the bracha to the children. Yeah, but over here he says, Baruch HaTu Hashem, Makenim Malach HaElam, Asher Kedushan, B'Kedushal Shalom, Sivan, Baruch HaZayim, Yisrael, B'Yavo. He didn't say a Pasuk, Baruch HaShem, L'Yolam, Amen, V'Amen. Baruch HaShem, Etzion, Shechen, Yerushalayim, Halukah. He didn't say a Pasuk. He says, a Baruch HaShem, Kedushan, B'Mitzvah, Yisrael, Sivan. Why isn't that a Baruch HaLevatolam? That is a sticky question. The Netziv just quotes his Zohar and he solves the problem, but that's questionable whether the Zohar really solves the whole problem or not. Okay, that was a fascinating Rabbeinu Yonah on the opening Mishnah. The Netziv dug up this Rabbeinu Yonah. Then the Gemara on the base quote different opinions among the Tanaim. When is really the Zman of Kriya Shema Shalai? When is the earliest Zman of Kriya Shema Shalai? Then the Gemara has a discussion: how many mishmaris are there in the night? Are there just like in the army? There are mishmaris; they switch the guards in the middle of the night. So too, in the heavens, the malachim switch the mishmaris. So how many mishmaris are there? So it's machlokes hatam whether there are three or four, because the pasuk talks about mishmaros in the plural. So that there are at least two, otherwise they wouldn't be called mishmaros. Then there's a pasuk that talks about hamishma hatichoino, the middle mishma. So there has to be at least three. So maybe the middle one means there are three, and the one in the middle. Maybe you can say there are four, and either number two or number three is one of the, is tichoino. That's where the Gemara has a whole discussion. If you hold there are four mishmaros, how do you call hamishma hatichoino? If there are two in the middle, which one is the tichoino? But there are at least. There are at least three mishmaros, because it says tichono. What does the Gemara say? David Melch woke up, Chatzos Laila Okum Lehodos Lecha, Al Mishpatei Tzidkecha. Chatzos Laila Okum Lehodos Lecha, Al Mishpatei Tzidkecha. That's a person from Tilim Kuf Yutes. That's the long perek that has the Tamanya Ape. For every letter of the alphabet, it has eight psukim. T'manya ape, eight psukim for every letter of the aleph base. So the pasuk says, Dovah Melech says he used to wake up at Chatzos. Then the other pasuk says, Kodmo enai ashmuros. So it sounds like there are four mishmaris, two before Chatzos and two after Chatzos. That's the support to the Tana who claims that their Rebbe says that there are four mishmaris. So we usually assume there are only three mishmaris, there are not four. So what do you do? It says, Kodma enai ashmu rois. So the Gemara gives different suggestions. So one suggestion was, since it's one and a half, it's also, you also say, ashmu rois. Rabashi Yama, the second wide line on Dav Gimel on the base, Rabashi answers, Mishmaro palganami mishmaros koilu. You can also use the plural. It was only one, there's only one mishmaro, it doesn't make sense to refer to it in the plural. But not only if it's two, if it's one and a half, you can also use the plural. Kodma en ashmuros. But some say, based on this Gemara, highly questionable proof, that on Shabbos you have to have Lecha Mishnah, Zecheleman, that the man, a double portion came down on Shabbos, you have Lecha Mishnah Friday night, you have Lecha Mishnah Shabbos morning. Try to have Lecha Mishnah Shabbos through this also. But some say, if you have one and a half, it's also called Lecha Mishnah. Because just like Ashmura upalgo, we use the plural mishmaros koriluhu, we use the plural mishmaro, so too one and a half shlemas is called lecha mishnah. No tzushta whatsoever, but that's what some achrayim say based on this gemara. So if you only have one shlema, one prusa, you should take it, and maybe that satisfies the requirement for lecha mishnah. I remember many years ago, someone showed me the Steinsaltz Gemara. Steinsaltz Gemara just adds on, what is the Machlekes Rebbe and Rebbe Nosson? Whether the three Mishmaris or four Mishmaris. So Professor Steinsaltz, somebody from the team, wrote in there that the Greeks and the Romans had a different style. One of them had divided the night into three parts. There were three parts to the night, so the soldiers switched turns. Three units, and the others divided into four. So the Machlokes HaTanaim is, how do they do in heaven? When the angels switch, okay, so that's quite a vital contribution to the study of Talmud Bavli, that you should know what the background of the Machlokes HaTanaim was, whether it's three or four. Okay. I remember every time we got stuck in the Gemara, we looked in Steinsaltz, he didn't help us out. Maybe now it's better. Maybe now, on the other Masechta, I don't remember which Masechta we were learning. Whenever we got stuck, he didn't enlighten us. Just as historical comment. He tells you when everybody lived. Okay. Doesn't help. The Gemara has an interesting comment on Amar. The Gemara says that night is divided into three Mishmaris. And at the end of each mishmar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries, HaKol Mishmar Mishmar Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Shoi Kari, he screams out loud like a lion, but what did I do? Oile banim, woe unto me that because my sons sinned, shabanim, but in the same hechrapti as basid, look what I did. I had to destroy my Beis HaMikdash, sarafti as hecholi, vihiglesim lebein umas oilem. I had to send them into Golas. So the Rabban Shalom feels bad about it at the end of every Mishmar. So that's an Eis Ratzon, that's a weak time then when he feels bad about it. So we should seize the opportunity and ask him, please rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So according to the Gemara, the Eis Ratzon, the best time to say Tikkun Chatzos is not so much Chatzos. You shouldn't say Tikkun Chatzos. You should say at the end of the Mishmar, I call Mishmar Mishmar, Kodesh Baruch Hu Shoei Kari. So that's why some had a minig based on the Gemara that they would say Slichas, and before Rosh Hashanah season, Aseres Meitshuva, they would say Slichas in between the first and the second Mishmar. That would be 4 hours into the night, huh? So the night usually 6 o'clock the sun sets, 6 o'clock the sun rises approximately. So 4 hours into the night would be 10 o'clock. So if the sun sets about 6 o'clock, so 10 o'clock in Europe, some places they would recite Slichas at 10 o'clock. Where does it come from, the minhag, to say Slichas at Chatzos? Shlomo LaVilna has Haoris. I think it's the Cheshek Shlomo. The same in the back of the Gemara, he's called the Cheshek Shlomo. He was the Magi on the Vilna Shas. So they have, the Sefer Ma'aseh Rav quotes all the Hanhogas from the Vilna Gaon every day, how he daven, how he shook a lulav, and so on. So they have different Haoris on the Sefer Ma'aseh Rav. So they have the Haoris of the Cheshek Shlomo. So he writes this here, that Medina the Gemara, the best time to say the Slicha is the best time to say Tikkun Chatzos is not so much at Chatzos, but rather between one Mishmar and the other. So in Europe, they used to say Slichas in some places at 10 o'clock at night. That was between the first Mishmar and the second Mishmar. In America, usually that season of the always that season of the year is already daylight savings time. So it's not going to be 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock is going to be 11 o'clock. So it should really be 11 o'clock. But we don't mishana de menhagim. We're very big sticklers on menhagim. So since in Europe it was 10 o'clock, but it's not the same. The 10 o'clock is 11 o'clock. We're not mishana de menhagim. It's the chilaf ha-mishmaris. It should be 11 o'clock. It's real. And that minik to say, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, where is the first place where it's recorded that they used to say slichas at midnight? So he says in the Meiri, in the Chibra Tshuva, he has it. I never looked it up. That's what he said. Meir Nechi Batshuva records that minute, that you say Slichas at midnight, and that's based on the Zohar, that the Eis Ratzon is Chatzos. And the Gemara doesn't say. Well, the Gemara talks about David HaMelech. The Gemara says, David HaMelech, Chatzos Laila Okam Lehodes Lecho. That was the pasuk in Tilim Kuf Yutes, in the Tamanya Abba. Chatzos Laila Okam Lahodas Lachal Mishpatetzid Kecha. So the Gemara talks about the whole program of David HaMelech. He hardly slept at all. And then he would compose Tilim in the second half of the night. And then in the morning, sometimes, why did David HaMelech wage so many wars? What was he such a warrior for? Because the people needed Parnassa. The people didn't have any Parnassa. So if you have a war going on, then as part of the war efforts, you have to have people make guns and make uniforms for the soldiers. Okay, so you give people jobs. And then when you win the war, he planned on winning the war. When you win the war, so you win a lot of booty. So you divide it among the people. So that was the motivation to go to war. This was obviously Mechemes Roshus. It wasn't a Mechemes Mitzvah. Mechemes Mitzvah, the Rambam writes, is either to wipe out Amalek, or Kibush Eretz Yisrael, or Lehatzel Yisrael Miyad Tzor, to protect the Jewish people from enemies. Or the Rambam has another time. When do you have another Mechemes Mitzvah? If you ascertain that 51% of the people in the city worship Tavid Yisrael, a city in Eretz Yisrael, so then Sar Malim La Muhammad. Then the Rambam says Bez Magadol calls up the army and they lay siege to the city, and then they give the death penalty to all those who worship Tavid Zohar. They burn down the whole city. You need an army for that. Yeah. So the Gemara says that this was the Seder Hadvar, that's based on the opening Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the Beis Amar Aleph, that when you want to go to Mechemes Harshus, you have to have authorization from the Bez Magadol. then you have to have, they have to approve it. What do you need authorization for? Because otherwise it's mamash ritzicha. You're killing nochrim. It's also not allowed. You're not allowed to kill nochrim either. They plan to wage a war and kill the enemy. So you need a heter ritzicha. Then you need a heter sequin to put the Jewish soldiers into sakana. The derech hateva, when you go to war, both sides are going to lose soldiers. So what's the heter to go to war? You're going to lose Jewish lives. So the Bez Magal has to give permission. They feel that it's worth it. Even though the motivation to go to war is just to make a parnasa, am chesod tzichem parnasa, so that was, it's a mechemes oshus, that's a valid cause to go to war. So you have to have authorization from the Bez Nagodol. Rashi writes, what do you need authorization from the Bez Nagodol? So Rashi says, they should give them a broche, Rashi five lines from the bottom, on daf gimel on the base. So that's what Achrenim say, based on the Rashi. And if a person plans to go on a trip, a business trip, he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael on a business trip, he's going to go from Eretz Yisrael to America on a business trip, so he should get Rishus from a big tzaddik, and he should ask for a bracha. So I remember I mentioned that once when I gave the shir on brachas to a group of balabatim. So one of the balabatim, every single time he goes on a business trip, he calls me up and he wants reshus, and he wants a bracha. That's Rashi says. Rashi says you have to go to the Sanhedrin. I tell him I'm not the Sanhedrin. Okay. So you need reshus from the bezin. I need reshus to be matter the iser ritziche, and to be matter the iser sikun. You're putting in sakana the Jewish lives, the soldiers. Then you need reshus from the yoetz. The minister of war has to give reshus, and then you have to consult the Urim V'Tumim. After the Bezna approves it, then you have to clear it with the Urim V'Tumim. When you go to Mechemes Mitzvah, you don't have to consult the Urim V'Tumim. You don't need reshus. Whenever there's Mechemes Mitzvah, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, he thinks it's a double push. If you have access to Urim V'Tumim, you should ask. When before you go to a Mechemes Mitzvah, you should go ask. Now the Mechemes and Eretz Yisrael are all Mechemes Mitzvah. It's the Israeli defense forces. They're not interested in expanding. They have enough trouble governing the Eretz Yisrael that's under their control. They're not interested in war in order to give parnasa to people. They have nicer ways of having parnasa. And the whole tzorach of the army is only for defense purposes. For defense, that's Eretz Yisrael Miatzah. That's a Mechemes Mitzvah. Rav Moshe says if Urim V'Tumim would be available, you would certainly be obligated to consult the Urim V'Tumim. But if it's not available, the Pashto said that it's not Me'akev. Rav Moshe has a Chiddush in a Tshuva. He thinks that Urim V'Tumim is Me'akev and a Melchemes Mitzvah. It's against the Psapel, it's against the Pashto of the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, that base of Manala. It says you only need the Yoetz and the Sanhedrin, the Urim V'Tumim, it's only needed by Melchemes or Shus. By Melchemes Mitzvah, you don't need it. If you have access, you should ask, how should I go Mechemes Mitzvah? But if you don't have any access to Urim V'Tumim, so you go without the Urim V'Tumim.
And they have the Urim V'Tumim first.
The what?
It has the last word. The Urim V'Tumim has the last word, so they should ask it first.
Why don't they ask first? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. The same thing when you appoint... Rav Soloveitchik has an essay about that. Isn't it strange? What do you waste your time? You ask the Sanhedrin, then you ask the Urim V'Tumim. Why don't you ask first? And then if the Urim V'Tumim proves it, then you ask the Sanhedrin. What do they say? I'm not sure. See, it gives them an answer. The question is better than the answer. The question is very good. Why don't you ask the Urim V'Tumim first? I don't know. Same thing when you appoint a melech also. You need authorization from the Sanhedrin, and then you need from the Urim V'Tumim. So once you have the Urim V'Tumim, what do you need the Sanhedrin for? And what do you ask the Sanhedrin first? It's the Urim V'Tumim, Mashayin V'nai Ma'arame. Yeah, what is the Kresi Plesi? What exactly is it? So the Kresi Plesi is a Sefer Barab Yonis and Ebeshit San Yeredeya. Okay, that we know. And the same author wrote Urim V'Tumim. Everybody calls him the Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim on Choshem Mishpat. Apparently he assumes that Kresi Plesi, same Urim V'Tumim, that's how Rashi assumes. Kresi Plesi. There's another way of saying Urim V'Tumim, but the Rabbeinu Tam and the Taisus he holds not so. Those are the crazy places, the Sanhedrin. Shekorsim Divreim, they have the final say. Shemufloim B'Hairo, they're outstanding poskim, the poskim of the generation. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, how do you read the words here? But that's what the Gemara says, that this was, he can't say this was the daily routine of David HaMelech. Every day he went to Melchemes Roshus. He went to a lot of Melchemes Roshus. Very often. That's why the Navi said he's not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash, because Dam Rab Shafachta, the Beis HaMikdash has to be a Makom Shalom. But,
there was only because of Melchemes Roshus.
Could be. That's a possibility. Interesting. Something to think about. I don't know. So that's the rule. When you go to Melchemes Roshus and you're to Melchemes Roshus, that's opening Mishnah's hand. Aloch be Bezn, Shel Bezn Agadol, Enor Metumim, and the Yoyitz. Okay. We'll stop here. We'll run to Mincha. Good.
What is in the middle of Chesh Shlomim? The Har is on the Maisera.
He says, according to the Gemara, you should say Slicha at 10 o'clock. Chilaf Mishmaris. And the practice to say
after Chatzar.
Right, no, just say it.